Let's open our Bibles this morning to Daniel chapter 3 and take your message notes out. I am really glad that you're here this morning because we are in a very important series in which we are learning how to respond to the types of adversity we all experience in life that can shake us up. And by shake us up, I mean there are lots of things that get thrown at us, unexpected, difficult circumstances that can create stress and discouragement, anger, bitterness, resentment, and maybe just an overall pessimistic view of life, contrary to what God wants for us. And we've been learning how to respond to those events by studying the amazing story of Daniel, a young man that found himself in some pretty difficult situations, to say the least, yet responded in a manner that helps us see how we can thrive and not just survive this life. And as we've been studying Daniel's story, we've noted that often the difficult times we face are actually tests that God is using to help us grow in faith, to grow in character, and to grow in maturity. Now, I know, though, even as I just say the word test, many of you, your palms start to sweat and you get nervous, because my guess is most people really don't like tests. In fact, let's play that little game. When I say the word test, just give me one word. I say test, you say anxiety. I heard anxiety. Okay. I say test, you say uneasy. I'm sorry? Again? Another one? Yeah, right. I say test and you say
wonderful.
Wow, a different perspective in the crowd. I'm shocked that it's Reese. I couldn't resist that one. That was good. I'll have to give you the microphone one day, Reese. You can get back. What else? What else do you think of when I say test? Study. I got to study. Failure. Yeah. I think a lot of people, the first thing that we hear when we hear that word test is, can I pass? Am I going to be successful? Or the fear of, am I going to fail? We get nervous and stressed and start feeling very insecure, I think, about our ability to be successful. We wonder if we'll know the answers, and sometimes we wonder if we'll even understand the questions. A man recounts a time when he had to enter the military while the draft was still in place. I didn't enlist in the army. I was drafted. So I wasn't going to make life easy for anyone. During my physical, the doctor said softly, "Can you read the letters on the wall?" "What letters?" I answered slyly. "Good," said the doctor. "You passed the hearing test." If only tests were that easy, amen? Well, here's what I hope that you understand when we talk about tests in the context of our spiritual growth and our spiritual maturity. First, they're for your benefit. If we didn't have tests to motivate us to learn and grow, we would never develop the most important character qualities in life. And also, as we've seen in Daniel's story already, the adversity we experience in life can either cause nothing but negative consequences, or, if seen as a test, can benefit us greatly. In fact, God wants to use the tests we face to not only help us grow, but to reward us, and in doing so, help point other people to Him. And just last week, we saw Daniel and his friends go from prisoners of war to high-ranking government officials in Babylon, all because they were faithful to God and passed the test of expecting God to do the impossible. We've also seen Daniel pass the test of unexpected change and the pressure to conform. Well, this morning we are going to look at another test that we find in the third chapter of Daniel, and we're calling it "When the Heat is On." Now, what on earth does that mean? Well, it means that at times in your life, you are going to face the heat of criticism, the heat of ridicule, or the heat of doing something you don't want to do, knowing your job, or maybe a relationship, or something else important to you is on the line. You may even face heat for your faith, when people challenge your beliefs or the standards and convictions that you live by. And we're going to look this morning at a time when the heat was on in Daniel's friends' lives and how they handled it. In fact, this part of the story in Daniel 3 happens about 15 years after the story in chapter 2 that we looked at last week. And King Nebuchadnezzar is still the most powerful man of the most powerful empire of his time.
And that kind of power can go to your head and cause people to develop quite an ego. And that's what happens in this story that creates the next test for Daniel's friends. If you'd like to follow along with me, it's Daniel chapter 3. I believe it's on page 669 in the blue Bible in the chair rack in front of you. The story begins in verse 1 saying, King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he sent messages to the high officials, our high officers, officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. So all these officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald shouted out, People of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, Long live the king! You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up. Now let's pause there for a minute and just say, what's going on here? Well, there's several things that are going on here. First of all, King Nebuchadnezzar has a god complex. Okay? And it's interesting that he has so quickly forgotten that the true God that allowed Daniel and his friends to interpret his dream, and not just interpret his dream, but also tell him what it was, all of a sudden now, just a few years later, he's got this god complex, and he wants everybody in his empire to basically worship him. And then there's these astrologers. Now, why did they go tattle on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, probably because they were jealous. They were jealous because during that incident, the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, elevated Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to offices within his empire. They were outsiders. They were Jews. And so they were probably jealous of these men and were hopeful that because they saw them not bow to the statue, that maybe we could get rid of these guys once and for all. But then lastly, what's the big deal? Why didn't they bow down? In fact, it appears as though that everybody in the crowd, except for these three guys, went ahead and bowed down to this statue. And remember, I told you that when King Nebuchadnezzar conquered Israel, he took captive 25% of the nation of Israel. And so I got to believe that there were some other people from Israel in the crowd that day, as the herald said, people of all nations, races, and languages. So some of their own people were probably in the crowd and bowed down right with the rest of them, but these three guys wouldn't do it. What gives? Why not? Well, the answer is simple. May not have been simple to do, but it was very simple, and that is because God had said, you are to not worship any other god but me. They were simply being faithful to the commands of God. In fact, the two first commandments of the Ten Commandments is that you will worship no other god but me, and you will not carve for yourself any wooden or graven image, whether of things above or things below, that you are not to worship anybody but me. And so what was happening here was simply that these men were not willing to be disobedient to the one true God's commands, and therefore were willing to be disobedient to man's commands. That's what's going on here. And as we continue, we then see Nebuchadnezzar's response in verse 15. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve any gods or serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Wow. Wow. How quickly we forget. And as Kristen said just a few moments ago, folks, it's important for us to gather once a week and to remember the most important truths of our relationship with God. Amen. Because the only reason I can imagine that King Nebuchadnezzar is now saying this is because he's forgotten. He's forgotten the power of the one true God. And pride always gets in our way. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." Wow. That's amazing. But I don't think it's any more amazing than what you and I can do when the heat is on in our life. In fact, I think we see in that passage, in their response to King Nebuchadnezzar, we see four things that you and I should do when the heat is on in our life. And the first is, don't worry about defending yourself. You don't have to worry about defending yourself. Now, I think it's a natural human inclination that when we are challenged, and maybe as Christians, even especially for our faith, well, we think we've got to stand up for God. We've got to defend ourselves and why it is that we believe what we believe. But clearly here, we see that that's not necessary. Because let's be honest, God doesn't need anybody to defend him. He is plenty capable of doing that himself. In fact, right there in verse 16, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. So folks, remember this. When you're attacked or criticized for standing up for God's standards, we need not feel the pressure to defend ourselves. They're God's standards. And he has the ability much greater than you and I to defend himself. So first of all, don't worry about defending yourself. But then what gave these three young men the ability to say that to the most powerful man in Babylon? Well, I believe it is because what we see right here, number two, they remembered that God has the power to save me. And you and I need to remember that God has the power to save us in the midst of the circumstances of life, when we feel the pressure, when we feel that the heat is on. You see, you don't need to worry about trying to defend yourself because God is a much better firefighter than you. He has an unlimited supply of water to fight the fires in your life because he created the water. Right there in verse 17, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. So let me ask you this morning a very important question. What fire do you need God to put out in your life right now? Is there a situation that is going on in your life that the heat is on? And maybe it's something in which the heat has been on for a long time. And it's something that it just doesn't seem is ever going to change. Maybe it's a relationship struggle. Maybe it's a financial issue. Maybe it's a personal, spiritual, or emotional crisis, an area of depression or discouragement that you just cannot seem to get past. Maybe an area of grief and mourning. When is it ever going to end? What is the heat in your life that you need God to put out right now? Well, if you have any situation that would be characterized as the heat is on in your life, I would encourage you to do exactly what these three young men did. That they remembered that God has the power to save me, but they also, number three, believed that God will save me. And that is the faith component. They said in verse 17, he will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Now, I think that's interesting, and I just want to point that out. Because even when you are being criticized or challenged for your beliefs or whatever it happens to be, we don't need to be rude and nasty in our response. Notice the way these three young men responded to King Nebuchadnezzar. They actually called him, "Your Majesty." They showed him some respect. even though he was asking them to do something that clearly they were not going to do, I have a feeling that a lot of people would not have responded as respectfully as they did. And yet, we are always more convincing when we are respectful. And so that's exactly what we see these young men doing here. Your Majesty. They're being clear with him, but they're being respectful as they tell him that we believe God will save us. And then number four, what I should do when the heat is on is I need to announce my loyalty to God no matter what. Announce my loyalty to God no matter what. That's what they did in verse 18. They said, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, Your Majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Now, their argument and their reasoning was so convincing that King Nebuchadnezzar just let them go. No, that's not what happened. Let's read here what actually happened. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach... down in verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. This guy went over the top, would you agree? Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. Oops. And that's a pretty good lesson for us of what can happen when we make decisions in our anger. You see, when we make decisions in anger, it only hurts ourselves and other people. These men lost their lives and the king lost the strongest men in his entire military. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. And so just exactly what King Nebuchadnezzar said would happen, happened. As these young men believed in the power of the one true God. And so most importantly, what I want to share with you this morning is what happens next. And there are 6 things that happen when I trust God when the heat is on. And when you know these 6 things, you can take a deep breath the next time you feel like you're going under for the last time, when you're facing the heat in your life. So what happens when I trust God when the heat is on? Well, first of all, God will walk through the fire with me. God will walk through the fire with me. Over and over in the Bible, God has promised that His presence will be with those who trust Him when you go through the heat. In verse 24 and 25, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, Your Majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the 4th looks like a son of the gods. Now, there's been a lot of speculation as to who this 4th person was in the fire. Many people have said, and in fact, here in a few verses later, King Nebuchadnezzar is going to conclude and call this 4th person an angel. Well, here's my belief. It was not a son of the gods. It was the Son of God. Jesus was there walking through the fire with them. Because God has been promising His people that that is exactly what He will do for generations. Back in Isaiah 43, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gotta wonder if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thinking about that, those words of Isaiah, as they were standing before King Nebuchadnezzar, trusting in the Word of God. That He is going to be faithful to His promises. You will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. The first thing that happens when I trust God when the heat is on is I know that God will walk through the fire with me. And then number two, God will burn off everything tying me down. And folks, this is really good news. That God wants to use the difficult circumstances, the suffering in your life, to burn off all of the things that are holding us back from living the life that God planned for us. Because if you trust Him, God will use the heat you experience to burn off all the unnecessary stuff that keeps you bound up and free you to live the life that you are meant to live. You know, heat, as you're full aware, can cauterize a wound and keep you from bleeding to death. And before we had easy anesthesia, cauterizing a wound was extremely painful. But guess what? It saved your life. And God loves you so much and so desperately wants you to spend eternity with Him in heaven that if you were at risk of dying without knowing Him, He lovingly uses pain to save you. And not just to save you, but to also help you become the person He created you to be. Isaiah 48:10 says, I have refined you. But not as silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. Now, you're not going to go through a literal furnace in your life. But you will go through many hot, difficult experiences. Will they be for naught? Or will you trust God to use them to burn off all the impurities in your life? You know, how does a silversmith know when all the impurities have been burned off and all that he has left is pure silver? Well, a silversmith will tell you, I know it's pure when I can see my reflection in it. And so you know what God wants to do through the suffering in your life when the heat is on? He wants to do the very same thing. He wants to burn off all the impurities so that he can see his reflection in you. You see, you were created in the image of God. But sin stole that image. And God has a plan. He has a purpose for everything in our life to redeem what sin has stolen and return us to our rightful position as being made in the image of God. And it is that suffering and the heat that brings that about in our life. God will burn off everything tying me down. And number three, God will give me a new freedom. God will give me a new freedom. You see, when you trust God when the heat is on, you will come through that furnace and emerge with a newfound freedom. And the Bible is full of examples and testimonies to this. What people in the world want to use to enslave you, or what Satan means to use to entrap you or to destroy you, God wants to use that very problem in your life to liberate you, to set you free from the expectations of other people, to set you free from the opinions of others, to set you free from a lot of things that are holding you back and tying you down. And I think one of the greatest examples of that is God's own people, the people of Israel, when they were bound to slavery for 400 years in Egypt. And at the end of that time, listen to what David said in Psalm 66:12, referring to that time. He said, "You let captors set foot on our neck, then we went through fire and water, and you led us out to freedom." Folks, there are so many opportunities that God can use the difficult times in your life when the heat is on to bring about newfound freedoms that maybe you never thought possible. Things that you never were going to be able to overcome in your life. But that's exactly what God wants to do. You may be facing the heat of addiction. And sometimes God uses heat to free you from that addiction. You may be completely controlled by the expectations and opinions of others. And God may use heat to help free you from that control. You may be facing the heat of a financial crisis. Well, God may be using that heat to help free you from greed and materialism. There are so many things that hold us back and keep us from enjoying God's plan and purpose for our lives. And sometimes the only thing that will break those chains is the heat of suffering, that we might have a new found freedom. But then we also see that there's Something else very, very important when we trust God when the heat is on, and that is number four, God will make sure that you come out unharmed. In fact, that's what Nebuchadnezzar says as he looks into the furnace. And he questions, didn't we just throw three guys in? I see four. He says, well, they're walking around unbound. And he said, unharmed. And God will make sure you come out unharmed as well. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Well, now we're getting it figured out again. Right? Come out. Come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. And I love this part. They didn't even smell of smoke. I can't even barbecue without smelling of smoke. And here these guys are completely unharmed because of the power of God that was released in their life because they put their faith and their trust in God. But that's not it. And we've talked about this a lot. That when God does things in your life, He doesn't do it just for you. He does it for other people as well. And that is also what we see when I trust God when the heat is on, that it will bring unbelievers to God. How you handle pain, how much you trust God when you're in pain, when you are under pressure, when the heat is on in your life, will probably be the most powerful witness and testimony that you will ever have. You see, you're not much of a witness when everything is going good in your life. But when you're faithful to God and you trust Him implicitly and explicitly, when you're in pain, when you're under pressure, you're in the fire, and people go, how are they doing that? How are they handling that? Well, that is a witness. That is a testimony to God. And your pain can be used in your life mission. And that is exactly what we see in this story in verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and rescued His servants. They trusted in Him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Would you underline four very important words in that verse? They trusted in Him. Folks, as your pastor, I hope that when your life comes to an end, that is what everyone will say of you. He trusted in God. She trusted in God. You see, you aren't really ready to live until you're ready to die. And you're not ready to die until you put your faith and trust in God. But when you do, God will do amazing things in and through your life and bring others to God. In fact, listen to verses 29 and 30. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. Even when this guy has the right perspective, he needs an anger management class. Then he says, there is no other God who can rescue like this. Whew. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. Let me ask you, who are you looking to save you? Who are you looking for to save you? You see, God tests you with stress before He trusts you with success. And when you pass the test, some amazing things happen in your life, including bringing unbelievers to God. But not only that, number six, when I trust God when the heat is on, God will reward my faith in Him. Here again, God uses a pagan king to reward the faith and the belief of these young men. And they are promoted to even higher offices than they were before. And we're told in 1 Peter 3:17, but even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. You see, if you trust God when the heat is on, and even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you. Now, we know there are certainly going to be rewards in heaven that we can't even begin to imagine. But there are also rewards that God will give you now. The Bible is full of promises to the believer who puts his faith in God and cares more about what God says than what the world or anybody else says. And Daniel is a perfect example. Because one of the rewards we see Daniel receive and his friends from God is because of the single-minded trust in him that God reveals things to you that he doesn't reveal to other people. In fact, I find it interesting, and we're not going to be able to go through every chapter and verse in this series in the book of Daniel, but there's a part of the book of Daniel that's coming in which God reveals to Daniel how the end of time is going to play out. And in fact, as far as we know in Scripture, there's only two people that God reveals that to: Daniel and the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation. But I believe with all my heart that if we put our faith and trust in God the same as they did, God too will reveal to us secrets and mysteries. Because that's what he does. He rewards the faithfulness of his people. We see it in Daniel's life, and we can see it in ours as well. Again, life is a test. And one of those tests is, am I going to believe God, period? Or am I going to believe my own ideas or the ideas of this world? You see, when you trust what God says without question, God will reward you. When you choose to be obedient to Him, amazing things can happen in your life. And with all my heart, that's what I want to see, not only for my life, but for yours as well. And it's clear. It's 100% unadulterated faith in God, believing that no matter what happens, God will save us. Amen? Let's affirm that together this morning. Would you bow your heads? And I'd like for you just to consider this one final question. Where are you feeling the heat in your life today? Where are you feeling the heat? It may not be a specific situation like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how their very belief system, their very faith in God was being challenged to the point of death. But I would imagine that a number of us walked into these doors this morning with a heavy load and a feeling of heat that you'd really like to see extinguished. And so let's this morning then, let's pray in our heart, pray in your mind. Say, dear God, you know the problems I'm facing right now. And you know the fire that I'm going to go through in the days and years ahead that I don't even know about yet. And I'm going to be like these men. I'm not going to worry about defending myself when I'm attacked. And I'm going to remind myself that you have the power to save me and deliver me, no matter how big the problem seems. But God, not only do I believe you can save me, I believe you will. You've said when I go through these problems that you'll be with me and you'll save me. So I want to thank you in advance that you're going to help me through the darkest, deepest days of my life. And Lord, I just want to say to you, like these three men said to you, even if you don't take me out of the problem, I'm still not going to serve false gods. I know what's worth dying for, and I'm not going to worship the false images of our culture, no matter what anyone else thinks. And God, I'm going to trust you to do these six things that you did with these young men. God, I'm going to ask you to walk with me through the fire, and I know you will. The days I'm going through now and the days in the future, I'm not alone. And I'm expecting you to burn off the things that are tying me down. It may be memories that I've held on to that are wrong. It may be misconceptions and false beliefs that are wrong. Burn them off, Lord. It may be a relationship that's just not right, or a habit that I can't kick. Burn it off. I'm asking you to give me a new freedom. I do not want to be manipulated by the approval of other people. I want to be fearless. I want to be willing to stand for you. Thank you that you've promised that I will come out unharmed. And God, I'm asking you to use my pain and use the problems I go through to bring unbelievers to you. Help them see me trusting you when things don't make sense. And may it help them want to trust you. Lord, I'm going to trust your promise that I will be rewarded every time I trust you when I don't understand, when it doesn't make sense, when it seems unpopular. And today I say to you, Jesus Christ, become the Lord of my life. Become the manager of my life. I want your plan and your purpose, not my own. And I want you to use me to bring your plan and purpose to others. And I humbly ask you to accept me into your family. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.